Grace, mercy, and peace be to God, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it wouldn't be a good shepherd service if we didn't have our mess ups every once in a while. Our text for this evening's message is actually kind of from all three. I use stuff from all three of the readings tonight, but especially from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, when a child is born, there are, you know, they're the questions that people typically ask when a baby's born. Parents ask, is he healthy? How much does he weigh? Maybe the dad will count the fingers and toes and make sure that there's 14 like they're supposed to be. I'm sorry, 10. How much does he weigh? All those kind of good ones. Maybe grandparents ask, what did you name her or him? Or who does she look like? That's the big one, right? I remember when my oldest son was born, I said, he looks just like my father. And he still looks just like my father. Nurses and doctors, well, they'll closely examine the child and they want to know, well, is he alert? Are her lungs clear? We expect these kinds of questions. We really do. But there are other questions that we'd never expect to hear at the birth of a baby, of a healthy baby. Who would ever ask, well, who's going to handle his funeral arrangements? Or what cemetery do you think she'll be buried in? Or what's going to be the cause of his death? For everything, there is a season. That's what the scriptures say in Ecclesiastes. And the season for asking about a person's death is not on the occasion of their birth. At least for normal, healthy babies. Well, one of our hymns asks a similar question. An unusual question about a child that's born in Bethlehem. The hymn we sang just a few moments ago, what child is this? What child is this? It's a very fitting question because this child is born in a very unusual way. His mother is a virgin. His birth is announced by angels. Raise your hand, how many of your births were announced by angels? Or your children's births? You may have heard angels singing when your child was born, but I'm going to think it's the medications. But anyway, birth announced by angels praising God. So what child is this? The wonderful answer, of course, is that answer that the angel proclaimed, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's who this child is. So what child is this? This child is no less than the Lord himself, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord whose very voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon. This very Lord now is cooing softly in the manger bed and in his mother's arms. The same Lord who told the shepherd, that shepherd Moses, to not come near because of the Lord's presence, and the Lord's presence was too holy for him, now invites the shepherds to draw near to him as he is sitting there lying in a manger, a helpless child. Moses himself actually hid his face from the glory of the Lord. But now the shepherds actually behold the Lord's face in the face of a baby. The unapproachable one is now infinitely approachable. And the intimidating one is now inviting. Come. And that certainly is good news. But what makes God's appearance in human flesh good news of great joy is that he came into this world in order to redeem us. The Lord of creation actually became part of his creation in order to recreate what man had broken. The immortal one was born part of his mortal creation in a specific time, in a specific place, so that he could actually unite himself forever with his creatures. Now think about it from a different point of view. What if the Lord had come in human flesh in order to confront mankind and to demand payback for all of the sins that had been committed against him? What if he had appeared among us with a human face that was a scowl in order to accuse us for our selfishness? Well, thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks be to God that his incarnation is instead good news of great joy for us, just like the angel declared. See, the reason why it is good news of great joy is that at this child's birth, we do ask that normally unthinkable question, how will this child die? Because this child was born to die. That was God's plan even before this child was born. This is what the heavenly angels were actually talking about when they say about his birth, that his birth will bring peace on earth. This child will die because of us, and he will die for us. The prophet Isaiah actually said it this way. He said, "To us a child is born." The angel said, "Unto you is born this day a Savior. Unto us, whose worldly passions conceive and give birth to all kinds of worldly thoughts and ungodly living, this child is born. Unto us, whose sinful hearts give birth to cruel and hurtful words, even against those whom we love the most and who love us most. Unto us, whose sinful natures drive us to live as though God didn't exist. And it's as if God didn't matter and what we want and what we do matters the most. In other words, unto us sinners, this child is born." So what does God call us to do? He calls us to repent and rejoice. Rejoice greatly for his holy birth on this holy night. But don't forget to rejoice also for his holy death. For already there at his birth, his cross, his death, and burial are actually foreshadowed, I'm going to talk about for a minute. What child is this? When we talk about this child is the one who had Mary at his birth and who actually had multiple Marys at his death at the foot of the cross. This same child is the one who had a righteous Joseph at his birth and had a righteous Joseph of Arimathea, who gave his tomb to Jesus at his death. This same child who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger at his birth is wrapped in a shroud and laid in a tomb at his death. And this one whose birth was honored by wise men bearing myrrh, and who is the same one whose death was honored by faithful women bringing spices, including myrrh, to the tomb. So what child is this? This child is the great light that has shown to us who dwell in a land of deep darkness, who has shown this great light to us who actually walk in darkness. This child is a real human child who has a real human body. His body is wrapped up, laid in a tomb. But on that third day, his real human body came back to life again. The first fruits of the resurrection of our human bodies as well. Our epistle reading, the letter to Titus, says this, which I think is just beautiful. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people in this child. We see God's grace living in the face of Jesus Christ. So let's do something. Let's do something that's normal at the birth of this child. Let's look a little bit closer at this son of Mary. Well, we're going to look at it in the context of Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah said all authority would be on those little bitty shoulders, those baby shoulders. And this child actually used his authority to free you and me from hell and destruction. Let's look closely at this child. He has the lips of the wonderful counselor. He comforts our troubled consciences with the most powerful counsel that anybody could hear. The counsel is this: I forgive you all your sins. He has the hands of the mighty God that created all things. He set all of that might, all of that power aside so that he might have his hands nailed to a cross. And in order to extend his mercy to you and to me through the sacrifice of his death on that cross. He has the arms of the everlasting Father, arms that are spread out on that cross to draw us to himself, to wrap his arms around us in his holy baptism, and to welcome us home as his prodigal sons and daughters. And he has the royal head of a priest. I'm sorry, the royal head of the Prince of Peace. But he didn't have a crown on that head. He had a crown of thorns in order to place on our heads crowns of glory. The grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Today, that salvation is again extended to you and to me as a gift from this child. It's Christmas, and Jesus gives us his best gift, his very best gift, his salvation. Earned for us on the cross. Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for you and for me. It's a gift that forgives our sins, renews our zeal for good works, inflames our love. What a wondrous gift of love this is. So the real question is, of course, and I'm going to answer it for you again, what child is this? It's that this child is the Lord who has saved you. So as the chorus in the song goes, haste, haste to bring him laud, and hail, hail, the Word made flesh. And of course, joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary, born for you and for me and for the whole world. Merry Christmas. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen and amen.